This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Rainbow Report, talking about depression. Now, one of the things I love about this job is I get to talk to people I admire. Now, you all know Rob Mitchell, who's been single-handedly out there slaying homophobic dragons since the first day I spoke to him on the phone. And he said, Doug, I want to do something. Well, he did, and he does. And thank goodness for that. And he's here in the studio again with me today.
Thanks, Doug. There's a lot of people outside. There's something on this weekend?
Yeah, some sort of football game or something, I believe. Yeah, never mind. We'll ignore that. Then there's Gus Johnston, the hockey player who came out in a painfully sincere and searingly honest video. I've posted a link to it on my blog, in which he spoke of the personal cost of remaining closeted in the sport that he loves. Gus, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Doug.
And he's going to stay with us throughout the program. And the Australian Christian Lobby were extremely dismayed and depressed when former New South Wales Premier Christina Keneally on Q&A recently spoke in favour of equal marriage, not just as a Christian, but as a devout Catholic. And finally, we can't avoid the National Depression Initiative. Ever since my interview with the CEO, the then CEO, I should say, of Beyond Blue 2 weeks ago, and her subsequent abrupt resignation, if that's what it was, no one's saying, that same day, it was inevitable we'd have to talk about the elephant in the room. Unfortunately, Jeff Kennett declined my invitation, and in his place we have Dr. Nicole Hyatt. Now, Beyond Blue's been having a bit of a rough ride since Jeff Kennett made his famous editorial in the Herald Sun, saying that children did best for their mental health with a straight mum and dad being married. Since then, Dawn O'Neill has abruptly resigned the same day she publicly disagreed with Jeff in an interview on this very programme. As Dawn had been at great pains to stress that in contrast to Beyond Blue's previous performance, now and going forward, Beyond Blue would be doing much more work to tackle depression, etc., in our community. So her departure raises the question, will Beyond Blue now be guided by the somewhat unfriendly attitude of its chairman, or the more positive, inclusive attitude of its now departed CEO? Here to answer that and more is the Deputy CEO of Beyond Blue, Dr. Nicole Hyatt. Good afternoon, Nicole.
Good afternoon.
So there's my first question for you. Are you still committed to all those programs that are going forward with the gay community?
Absolutely. And look, we know that Dawn has been with us for 9 months, but our activities around that and commitments around the GLBTI community began well over 9 months ago. They certainly began when we held the roundtable discussions with the GLBTI community. And it was at that very event that we asked the community what they thought Beyond Blue should be doing and what our role should be in terms of addressing the high levels of depression and anxiety within this community. And we've since that time, the board is committed and the organisation is actively carrying out the key outcomes of that roundtable, which includes the development of national advertising campaigns, committed funding to research, etc.
Well, that's something that just got a message in from Gina from the organisation of Intersex International Australia. She was asking what were the outcomes from that conference. She also wants to know, have you provided any direct funding to LGBTI anti-depression initiatives like, for example, the Health Alliance, Wear It Purple, ACON, and so on?
Mm-hmm. Yes, so firstly, we've had a number of outcomes since that meeting. One of the main things that the community said that they wanted was for Beyond Blue to lead a national awareness campaign to raise awareness of the high levels of depression and anxiety within the GLBTI community, but secondly as well, to raise awareness of the impact of negative attitudes or homophobia on the mental health and well-being of members of the GLBTI community. So that is something we've been working very closely with the LGBTI Alliance, La Trobe University, the AIDS Council, various other members, to look at the development of that campaign. And we've been working very heavily on that and over the last year and a half, and progress is being made. So certainly, in answer to that part of the question, we're also about to, we have invested to date over $1 million in research into the GLBTI community issues, and have another national grants round to be announced at the end of October. so that we can further progress research within the GLBTI community. So that shows the, demonstrates, I suppose, the commitment of the board to this area.
Now, your speciality at Beyond Blue, is it not, is in women's mental health, and in particular mothers with children, postnatal depression, that sort of area?
Yep, I've got two areas of specialisation. One is community awareness and developing campaigns, and I've been responsible for many of Beyond Blue's campaigns over the last 10 years that I've been at Beyond Blue. And the other area is my area of clinical specialisation is postnatal depression, perinatal mental health.
Okay, how much did Beyond Blue spend on that last year?
On the perinatal initiative?
Mm-hmm.
Well, in fact, we've been funded separately by the Commonwealth to undertake specific work in the perinatal area. Beyond Blue initially committed funds to research. Again, that's where we started. And we took that research to government, and the government has committed $85 million. And $5 million of that over 5 years has gone to Beyond Blue to do the community awareness activities, develop clinical practice guidelines.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted to put, what you're spending on LGBTI activities in context.
Considering that we started with that work back in 2001 to 2004.
Yeah, which is actually another rather telling point, isn't it? That you've been doing that for a long, long time, and it's only fairly recently you've woken up to what the needs are in our community.
Well, I think we started there. We weren't doing stuff with older people at that point, particularly as a specific target group. We very much focused on the broader community, on funding programs. In fact, we commissioned external research, so we weren't actually doing those programs ourselves. That was research that we commissioned externally.
Mm-hmm. Question here from Sue Hackney. I'd be interested to know why the organisation thinks it's necessary to survey GLBTI experiences of homophobia. There's clearly enough evidence around, including the literature review you yourselves paid Arches and GLHV, that's Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria, to do a couple of years ago. In the face of urgent need for services on the ground, this could appear to be stalling or wasting money, and it could also run the danger of leading participants unethically up the garden path, i.e. asking them to share sensitive, emotional, distressing personal experiences without any backup on your part, committing to actual service delivery.
Yeah, now that was that's an excellent point, because that's something that actually came up from the roundtable discussion, that there was plenty of research demonstrating the impact of homophobia on depression and anxiety, that we didn't need to invest further money into that area. That was a very clear theme. But what the roundtable discussion did say is it's time to take that to the next stage and develop something which is exactly what the campaign is. So we're not doing a survey of levels of discrimination. We know that that is very well evidenced. We're taking that to the next level in the development of a national advertising campaign where people will be talking about their experiences to raise awareness in the community.
Okay, I want to bring Rob Mitchell in here.
Nicole, good afternoon. How are you?
Hi, Rob. How are you?
Good. I mean, just for the sake of completeness, I think we should just put everything on the table here. And I know that you specifically don't want to talk about Dawn O'Neill, and I find that unsatisfactory. And I should also point out to the listeners that probably yours and mine working relationship being charitable could be described as troubled. But what I want to know is, and the first question is, on a scale of 1 to 100, where 1 is complete shit and 100 is absolutely fabulous, how would you rate Beyond Blue's reputation within the GLBTI community?
Well, I suppose it depends on who you ask. If I stop and look at the work that Beyond Blue is doing on the ground and the people that we have around the table from the GLBTI community who are working on this campaign, I would say it's very, very good.
Okay, so if we could just answer the actual question, broadly, what do you think that Beyond Blue's reputation scale would be in the GLBTI community?
I think it's very hard to have a universal figure. It's a broad community. What I can say is the organisation is extremely committed to and has demonstrated its high commitment to the GLBTI community. The fruits of that work will be demonstrated in January and February next year, when we launch our campaign. So, that it's going to be an ever-changing landscape in terms of what that figure is. But from my experience, from people I talk with, the people on our reference group, It's not up to me to give it a rating, but it would actually be, from the people I talk to, it's favourable.
Okay, well, I'll give you a couple of ratings that listeners have sent into us. I've got one here saying, how can you seriously engage with the gay and lesbian community when your figurehead repeatedly makes homophobic statements? Another one here, have you taken steps to re-educate Mr. Kennett and address his willful ignorance of current research on same-sex parenting? And another one here, in 2008, Mr. Kennett promised to stand down from the board after comparing homosexuality to pedophilia, but he didn't. How can we trust you when your leaders don't keep their word?
Well, I mean, okay, just taking that last point, it's up to our chairman to decide when he wants to stand down. He hasn't made a public announcement.
But he's made announcements which are clearly at odds with the supposed values of your organisation. Your previous CEO pointed that out, and the same day she left the organisation. Now, you know what that looks like.
Well, I can tell you what else looks like is when you look at the work and the commitment that the board has made and the investment the board has made, this is a bigger picture than personal opinions of a chairman. When you look at the board has actually demonstrated its commitment by putting significant investment and resources into progressing.
But Nicole, this is where we constantly have the intersection. To be perfectly blunt, I mean, what the basic problem with Beyond Blue versus, say, Headspace versus, say, Black Dog versus, say, Sane, the basic problem that the GLBDI community has with Beyond Blue is this: the bullshit versus performance graphs never cross. Okay, and I hate to be so succinct about it, but it's the only way to pin you down, and that seems to be the problem, that we don't have these issues with any other mental health organisation. And so the question begs to be asked, when the CEO, as Doug, you know, so succinctly points out, comes on here and says, well, look, you know, the chair's comments are irrational and don't agree with her own research, and then we find out the same day that she disappears, I think we can put one and one and two together here. And that's my issue, that, you know, that we constantly seem to be having these discussions, but out of the more than $200 million that's gone through your organisation, you know, Sweet FA has gone into this area, and I don't think why you would think, or any of our listeners would think, that that was even remotely acceptable.
Well, look, I think you're making some assumptions there. You're assuming the reasons for the resignation. I'm not even privy to the reasons why our current CEO has resigned. I think you're making a lot of assumptions there.
Well, there's one other assumption that I will make, and that unlike Dawn O'Neill's and Jeff Kennett's marriage, which Jeff said that sometimes marriages don't work out,
yep,
it's abundantly clear to me that your marriage with Beyond Blue, at any rate, does work out, because you've been there for, you know, I think, what, more than 10 years now?
Yeah, I have.
Absolutely. So the question I have is, if Jeff Kennett doesn't listen to me or to the rest of the people in the GLBDI community or anybody else, I'm assuming, and this is an assumption I am making, that somehow he listens to you. And Nicole, will you be the person that finally gets through to him that what he's doing with these comments is being part of the problem, not part of the solution?
Look, absolutely. We Jeff and I have discussions, and look, the board, the point is that the board is committed to the GLBTI community. They've put their money where their mouth is. They have committed, and they are ongoing committed to addressing the issues. So,
well,
you know,
well,
when
I,
it comes
I,
to actions speak, at the importance of actions, I do think, and I can confidently say, as someone who's been very much part of this organisation for 10 years, there is a demonstrated commitment there from the organisation to work in the GLBTI community.
Well, we're going to have to leave it there for now, Nicole. Thank you for joining us this morning. I'll leave you with one thing from another listener,
yep,
from Paul Cosgrave. He said, it's really simple. Either Beyond Blue supports Jeff Kennett or Beyond Blue supports the gay community. You have to decide. It's one or the other. You can't have both.
Well, that's interesting. We support the GLBTI community through the work that we're doing, and that the board, which includes our chairman, is demonstrated to be highly committed to. And that's all. That certainly would be my parting note.
Okay. Well, thanks for joining us this afternoon,
much.
Nicole.
Okay. Thank you.
That was Nicole Hyatt there from Beyond Blue. dancing around the elephant in the room as always. I'm afraid that's as far as we ever get. What do you think? You can give us a call or send an email. Unfortunately, SMSs don't seem to be working. Or Twitter at Rainbow Reporter. Now, later in the show, we'll be talking to former New South Wales Premier Christina Keneally. But up next, Rob and I have talked a lot about homophobia in sport, but my next guest is someone who's lived it. You've probably seen the moving coming out video he posted a couple of weeks back. His name is Gus Johnston, and he was a hockey player with Essendon.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.